Two, one, and welcome back, folks. This is going to be the third part of our year end for 2023. And what a year it's been! Not a good idea, or not a good year, when you have to have three parts to explain all the hell that's broken loose in this country. Is that right, Jim?
Well, Don, you got it right. Yes, and our next story, number nine.
American domestic television.
Top 10 stories of 2023, everyone else is losing, but Donald Trump is winning. We got the American political crisis never described more succinctly than by Paul Craig Roberts. American politics is in crisis. The evidence is overwhelming. Biden was not elected, but was put into the presidency via stolen election. The evidence is overwhelming that Democrats in the Biden regime are attempting to prevent Trump from being returned to the presidency by attempting to destroy him with four false felony trials and several civil. This is an unprecedented weaponization of law for political purposes, akin to Stalin's purge trials of the Bolsheviks. The ultimate consequence is unclear. However, the people are not fooled. Trump remains a leading candidate for the presidency. Trump received more votes on his re-election than he did when he was elected to his first term. Biden, whose support was so weak that he did not even campaign because the absence of people at his rallies was an embarrassment, was credited with more votes than any Democrat candidate in history, 10 million more than Obama, more than Hillary. The Biden vote total indicated a high level of voter support, of which no signs were seen. There was no visible enthusiasm for Biden, yet he had an unprecedented total vote. So we have in the Biden regime an illegitimate government. It's not permissible to say so. The media do not permit it. Lawsuits, even arrest warrants are brought against people who say or provide evidence that the election was stolen. In this way, those who stole the election use their control over law and prosecution to protect their theft. It was not limited to the presidency. It happened also to Republican representatives, senators, and governors. Trump has had 8 years of false prosecutions, Russiagate, two illegitimate impeachment, DocumentGate, Strippergate, January 6th insurrection, resulting in indictments by Democrat-controlled legal machinery in New York, Fulton County, Georgia, and the U.S. DOJ. Additionally, the Democrat State Attorney General of New York is attempting to steal his real estate empire. Other Democrat judges have ruled that Trump can be sued by anyone who claims to have been damaged by a Trump speech. Trump has all this trouble and stress for two reasons alone. He threatened the powerful military security complex by threatening to take away their enemy by normalizing relations with Russia. And he threatened the ruling establishment, sometimes referred to as a deep state, by declaring his intent to take power from them and give it back to the American people. The purpose of this punishment of Trump is to send loud and clear the message: any future president or presidential candidate who threatens in any way the ruling establishment will be destroyed. It's necessary to understand that what has been occurring for decades in the U.S., indeed throughout Western civilization, is an erosion of the belief system that's the basis of the social, political, and moral order. The West has been destroyed, not by communist spies or terrorists, but by its own intellectuals and educators, filmmakers, historians. University education and now primary explain Western civilization as a racist enterprise that exploits people of color. This has now developed into the demonization of white people, especially white male heterosexual Gentiles. They're being eliminated from position of power and influence and replaced with women, people of color, and the sexually perverse. Major corporations, Apple, Starbucks, IBM, even the U.S. military, have publicly announced hiring and promotion for white males are on hold. This is a violation of the Civil Rights Act and of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, but nothing is being done about it in jurisdictions where Democrats control school boards. Critical race theory is used to teach the white kids they and their parents are racists who owe restitution to blacks. They're taught they may have been born in the wrong body. Transgender clinics have sprung up where young women's breasts are removed. Young men are chemically or surgically castrated. Parents' attempt to interfere with the brainwashing of their children is being resisted. It's necessary to understand Congress and the president are not accountable to the voters. More important than votes are campaign contributions that lead to election. The House, Senate, and president are elected on the basis of large sums of money contributed by the rich and powerful financial and economic interests, such as the military security complex, Wall Street, the pharmaceutical, energy, agribusiness, and other industries. Elected officials have to comply with the interests of those who provide the money, or the next election, the money goes to their opponents. The Jewish billionaire George Soros uses his money to put in office aggressive partisan Democrat state attorneys general who target Republicans. It's necessary to understand the U.S. is not a nation. It is a Tower of Babel. Untold millions of immigrant invaders enter the country illegally every year for year after year, and nothing can be done to stop the invasion. The Democrats welcome the invaders as they have ways to add them to Democrat voters. The Republican businessmen welcome the invaders as they provide cheap labor and hold down U.S. wages. The two political parties serving their short-term interests are destroying America. The immigrant invaders overwhelm the school system, medical facility, police, and support systems of affected states and localities, making it difficult for them to service even the interest on their own municipal bonds. So you see, it matters not how many votes this or that polls shows this or that candidate has. Trump is being prosecuted by Democrat prosecutors in courts presided over by Democrat judges in jurisdictions where there are black Democrat juries. Law is being used as a weapon to remove a president and presidential candidate perceived by the establishment to be a threat. Trump will not be permitted to be president. If he is not imprisoned, he will be assassinated. Unless the establishment thinks it can control Trump by controlling his appointments and continuing to harass him. Perhaps the establishment thinks 8 years of high stress on an elderly man has done its damage, and a little more stress will finish him off. Meanwhile, Edwin Meese, Reagan's attorney general, observes Jack Smith's appointment was illegal. First of all federal offices not listed in the Constitution must be created by Congress, and Congress has not created any position like the one Smith currently holds. He's emphasized Smith is a private citizen, but he's been given the power of a full-fledged U.S. attorney. The law does permit special counsels in limited roles as assistants, but not with the sweeping authority Smith has received, which is equal to or even exceeds that of a Senate-confirmed U.S. attorney. A position similar to Smith's, called an independent counsel, previously existed, but the authorizing statute expired in 1999. Even if Smith's position were lawful, he was not lawfully appointed. Smith does not answer to Garland. In fact, Garland specifically said so to instill confidence Smith's probe was independent. As such, Smith counts as a superior officer. He is prosecuting a former president. The first time that has happened in our nation's history, Meese notes, Smith is preparing to exercise at least as much power as a U.S. attorney, and arguably more. That's the hallmark of a superior officer who must be appointed as such. Smith is thus so powerful, he must be nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate to lawfully hold his position. Meese likened Smith to the proverbial emperor with no clothes, not clothed in the authority of the federal government. Smith is a modern example of the naked emperor, Meese concluded. Improperly appointed, he has no more authority to represent the United States in this court, meaning the U.S. Supreme Court, than Bryce Harper, Taylor Smith, or Jeff Bezos. That fact is sufficient to sink Smith's petition, and the court should deny review, which it has. Meanwhile, Trump dominance hits a new level as he has nearly 70% support in GOP primaries. Former President Trump is dominating the Republican primary polls with 69% support, up 7 points from November. The Republican is a clear favorite among GOP voters, his support having grown by a whopping 26 points since February. Fewer than a third of Republican primary voters are backing all of Trump's rivals combined. 12% going to DeSantis, 9% Nikki Haley, 5% Vivek Ramaswamy, 2% Chris Christie, and 1% the former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. Every Trump opponent behind Hutchinson has lost support within the last month. Trump is also doing well in hypothetical general election matchups against Biden, beating him by 4 points among survey respondents. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy has responded to questions about Trump, and listen to what he has to say. Very troubling.
It's good to see you guys.
What did you mean on social media when you said that they're not going to take Biden out and it's not going to be Newsom?
This is a longer story. It takes a dark turn, but I think it's, I have a good sense of what's going to happen here.
Okay.
They're leading into trap. They're not going to let Trump get anywhere near the White House. They're not going to let him. So the goal is, you know, have him be the nominee, and by hell or high water, one way or another, they're not going to have him, they're not going to let him.
What about the other two, though?
It's not them.
Who is it?
It's within our own party.
Okay. It's within our own party?
Yes, it is. Okay. Hey. Look at the people who voted to keep Trump off the ballot. Who are they putting up? Who are lawsuits to keep him off the ballot? Larry Fink to Reid Hoffman. Who are they propping up? So it's a game. And I'm not going to, I'm in this to make sure that that doesn't happen. But they want it to be a two-horse race, eliminate him, put up actually the Trojan horse within the Republican Party that keeps the war machine humming and keeps the restrictions on speech and the censorship agenda. Get it done. Who needs Democrats when you can get it done through the Republican Party?
Okay.
So you do the.
I think that's very telling. Thinking about who in the Republican Party would be most opposed to Trump, Mitch McConnell comes to mind, Matt Romney comes to mind, Liz Cheney comes to mind. He's actually supporting Paul Craig Roberts' observation, they're not going to let Trump assume the presidency and may intend to assassinate him. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, if they assassinated Trump, it would be perceived as an assassination attempt against every American patriot that supported him. And their miscalculation is that the American patriots would just pack up their bags and go home, and they would just adapt to whoever, you know, rises up. They don't understand the rage that will be unleashed if they assassinate Trump. And it will be, it'll make Black Lives Matter and these riots in, Wisconsin that happened back in the summer of 2020 look like child's play. And I don't mean people are going to burn down cities and get unruly with innocence. But you will see, I think, an inevitable rise. And again, the Civil War advertisements and films, I think they're all very well aware of what will come. And Vivek Ramaswamy is identifying what Paul Craig Roberts has said, and I've said this too. They will, I think, inevitably try and assassinate Trump. Whether they do it or not is another matter. Get away with it. If Trump continues on his trajectory, he is, you know, going to be the Republican candidate, and he needs to essentially, Jim, I think, you're moving in a direction where it'll be Jefferson Davis versus Lincoln. Trump will claim the presidency if he's got any honor and integrity, because he'll recognize there's no honor and integrity in the voting systems. And for California trying to outlaw counties from hand counting, You know, that's another action of fraud. I will end it by saying I predict, as I've said for a long time, they are going to put Gavin Newsom into the vice presidency either by killing Kamala Harris to turn colored people, you know, in the Democrat camp, and then they'll kill Joe Biden. The only way they can advance is through their guilt-tripping Americans, and they have to have martyrs. So they'll move Gavin Newsom in, and then Gavin Newsom will declare some sort of martial law, military war powers, and suspend the election. I predict that's going to be their play, is moving Gavin Newsom in, suspending the election, using false flag murder, assassination attacks, and try and use that as a Nazi Gestapo night of the long knives roundup of conservatives that these Civil War films are predicting. Dinesh D'Souza's Police State is a glimpse of that. And it's not because conservatives are acting badly. It's because the tyrant police state and their Democrat backers are going to become even more irrational, more draconian, more violent against the Trump-supporting conservative heterosexual male Republicans. And that is going to erupt that civil war, that police, that rising that we've all talked about. And I think that's the process that's going to follow, Jim.
Brian.
Well, I don't think that they have the guts to try to assassinate Trump, but I think Ramaswamy's making a great point. They're not going to let him in. They're going to do anything they possibly can to keep him out. I think, however, he is sort of appointed to the position. Now, they got away with assassinating Kennedy. Why wouldn't they try to get away with assassinating Trump? The problem with Trump is that he's so visible, and that's a strength and a weakness. He's at his, he goes to his rallies. He takes care of people. He loves people. People love him. I got to ask myself the question at this point in time, is Trump capable of cleaning out the swamp? And I don't know if he is. He might be able to put them on hold for a while, but they're like a cancer. They're going to come back in a different way. You can put it into remission, but you can't destroy it until you destroy it. And America doesn't have the guts to do what needs to be done to solve that problem. I'm deeply concerned about what's going to happen politically. And I'm deeply concerned that they are going to drive us into some sort of civil war. And again, that's what I'm preparing for, is how, in the midst of such a terrible series of events like that, where Americans would turn on each other, how do we do the best with the time that we have left and start building a new generation of people that can help lead the country into the future? I think the Constitution is not broken at all. It's that it's not properly enforced. It's just a piece of paper unless it's properly enforced. It's the machine that enforces it, and it's broken. And I really don't know how it's going to play out. I'd like to believe the Q theory is correct. I'd like to believe that there's something to it. I just haven't seen enough evidence to really say that I really believe that.
Well, Trump has designed a plan to eviscerate the senior executive service. It's called Schedule F, that allows him to fire these civil servants who have heretofore been invulnerable. And he's already declared, once back in office, he'll undertake the largest deportation program the country has ever seen, and which we need desperately. Scott, your further thought.
One quick thing. Meese, in his filing, amicus brief, challenging the authority of the prosecutor, why isn't Trump's legal team filing that motion in court to the judge in every case, you know, in this particular case, saying, excuse me, Your Honor, this man is not qualified to be in this courtroom. And what he's doing, he does not have the authority to do. So as his legal team, we're not recognizing him or his case or this court. If this court allows this man to be practicing authority and actions that he does not have, why isn't Trump's legal case making that argument?
I'll
and
just
that's
say,
astounding.
Scott, I believe that's forthcoming. I would expect that to happen in the first week of the new year that they will do that.
Yeah, okay. I'll
put Meese has plowed the ground. He's done a brilliant and very good thing here for the American people. Yes, a final thought.
How you get rid of the deep state, you bribe them. You say, okay, we'll give you $10,000 to quit your job, or $20,000 or $100,000. You give them a bribe. And if they don't take the bribe, then you get a department of, you get your attorney general, and you get a inspector general of the agency, inspector general czar. I said Trump should have had the inspector general czar as a cabinet level that manages the inspector general of every agency, and you parallel prosecute them. You prosecute them for waste, fraud, and abuse. There are a lot of ways. When I was in HHS in the Bush administration, we had some loyal Reagan type of directors that did fire bureaucrats for painting their nails and selling Mary Kay products while they're on working at their job, and they weren't working. That's the amazing thing. They were fired. So it can be done, Jim.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Here we have our top 10 story number 10.
Good to see you guys.
The globalist threat continues. Experts admit the WEF plan to erase 4 billion people within years. The World Economic Forum and various globalist leaders are fervently advocating for phasing out fossil fuels, presenting their ambitious net zero goal as a cornerstone of WEF and UN comprehensive plans for humanity, encapsulated in Agenda 2030 and Agenda 2050. This ambitious target seeks to dramatically diminish reliance on fossil fuels by 2030, with the ultimate aim of completely eradicating their use by 2050. Leading experts, however, are sounding alarm bells, warning the potential consequences of this net zero goal could be nothing short of catastrophic, resulting in the death of over 4 billion people worldwide. Critics are quick to assert the seemingly innocuous term decarbonization, touted by the World Economic Forum, is in fact a euphemism for an anti-human agenda. In a bold call to action, WEF is urging taxpayers worldwide to contribute a staggering $3.5 trillion annually, a financial commitment deemed necessary to fund their lofty global power and pave the way for the realization of the net zero goal, effectively entailing the worldwide decarbonization of the planet. Danish statistician Bjorn Lomborg is among those raising a red flag, emphasizing an abrupt termination of fossil fuel use could lead to the death of approximately half the world's population through starvation alone. Given that around 4 billion are relying on fossil fertilizers for their sustenance, British economist Neil Record paints a dire picture, suggesting a sudden cessation of fossil fuel usage could result in a cataclysmic scenario where up to 6 billion might perish within a year. The catastrophic ramifications would encompass widespread blackouts, disruptions of the grid, the collapse of critical infrastructure. The lack of fossil fuels would trigger a domino effect, impacting gas distribution, causing the failure of heating, hot water, cooking facilities for millions of households. This, in turn, would lead to a death cascade of calamities, including power cuts, communication breakdowns, and the eventual breakdown of law and order, not to mention death, dysentery, and the like. As a narrative unfolds, by day 25, the depletion of diesel and petrol would bring about a failure of food distribution systems, plunging urban areas into widespread starvation. By day 50, experts predict mass conflict and slaughter in urban zones as desperation for survival intensifies. Within 100 days, approximately half of the world's population, roughly 4 billion, would face a grim fate. Survivors predominantly clustered in rural areas. The depopulation agenda associated with the WEF Green Goals becomes more pronounced as statements from some of its members, like Dennis Meadows, come to light. he's explicitly called for an astonishing 86% reduction in the global population, framing it as a prerequisite for achieving the WEF's green objectives. The nightmarish scenario painted by these experts underscores a potential human toll of implementing extreme environmental policies without meticulous consideration of their impact on the well-being of individuals and communities worldwide. So I beg to differ. That's exactly the consequence they want. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization calls for masking, physical distancing over another mystery illness. Media reports say hospitals in Beijing and Liaoning are overwhelmed with cases of undiagnosed pneumonia, primarily affecting kids. The children are presenting symptoms of lung inflammation and high fever, but not coughing associated with COVID, RSV, or other illnesses. Chinese officials first announced the outbreak on November 13th, which they reportedly blamed on the absence of lockdown restrictions. The WHO has asked Chinese to distance themselves from one another, stay home if they feel unwell, return to masking. Classes are on the verge of being suspended as more children become infected. In response to a demand from WHO officials that the Chinese government share detailed information on the illness, Chinese authorities said it's not a new virus, but common winter illnesses causing hospitalization. The bugs are hitting harder due to lowered immune systems caused by pandemic restrictions. Chinese authorities advise there's been no detection of any unusual or novel pathogen or unusual clinical presentations. Meanwhile, the UN has launched a Gates-funded global digital ID program as experts warn of the looming totalitarian nightmare. The UN Development Program said the 50 and 5 campaign was for the construction of an underlying network of components. A critic said the digital public infrastructure will be a mechanism for surveillance and control that combines digital ID, central bank digital currencies, vaccine passports, and common carbon footprint tracking data, paving the way for 15-minute smart cities, which are open-air prisons, future lockdowns, and systems of social credit. The Gates Foundation has already allocated $200 million to expand global digital public infrastructure as part of a broader plan to fund $1.27 billion towards sustainable development goals by 2030. Other entities involved include the Rockefeller Foundation, Omidar Network, ID 2020, and the UN World Bank. Meanwhile, General Flynn issues an emergency warning. The globalists are planning to trigger a new American Civil War. Scott, your thoughts?
I put that Twitter on the chat so you can see that interview Flynn did with Alex Jones. And, you know, he's saying the same thing that we've been saying. I wouldn't be surprised if he's getting it from us. Flynn is also, of course, backing Israel and the Zionists there and trying to, you know, kind of push this American military bullyism all over again. And I think that's, you know, I think Flynn is overvalued. I don't think he's that smart. I don't think he's not charismatic. He couldn't lead anything. So there's a lot of people that are in the school that Flynn is not to be trusted, and you know, I don't think so either. But the obvious fact is we are moving towards civil war, revolution, and I'll say it unapologetically and fearlessly. We're moving towards a conflict, civil war, revolution, uprising. And I wouldn't say it's an uprising. I'd say it's people throwing off the mantle of slavery and bullyism that we've had put upon us. You know, the Republican, conservative, heterosexual, Christian is like a big dog, and the Democrat woke are like a little chihuahua. And they're vicious, and they're snappy, and they're biting the ankles of the Republicans. And I think when they draw blood, what does a big dog do? He turns, he grabs the little dog, and he breaks its back and breaks its neck and kills it. And I think that's inevitably what will happen because, again, they're incapable of changing. They're incapable of turning. And they're the only thing they know is threats and violence and lies and projection. So they try and project onto Trump everything that they themselves do. They project onto conservatives what they're doing. They project onto Russia what they're doing. They're projecting onto Iran what they're doing. And the Zionist activity in Gaza is a confirmation of all that. So we're going into this climactic clash. And when I did my interview with Alex Jones, I said, I'm not afraid because we win in the end. We will inevitably always win in the end. Conservative traditional Republicans will always rise up and patriots will rise up because we're incapable of accepting slavery. We're incapable of teaching our little boys to cut off their penises and our daughters to wrap their breasts. We're incapable of that. And that intolerance, that incapability, that impossibility of embracing the demonism of wokeness creates the nature of a clash. And Tucker Carlson has said this too. Tucker Carlson has said we're moving towards a civil war because Christianity and wokeism are mutually exclusive. You can't tolerate each other. And it's not like conservatives are moving to Democrats. Conservatives, by nature, are more sedentary. The Democrat wokists are bringing their clash to us. And it's going to be the Democrats are wielding a sledgehammer made out of clay. And the conservative is the steel flagpole waiting for the impact. And once they impact it, they're the ones who are going to be shattered, not the conservatives, Jim.
Well, with Dick Durbin of Illinois suggesting a path to citizenship for migrants by serving in the American military, I think that overcomes a problem they have with American soldiers unwilling to fire on American citizens. They want to put these illegals in our military so they can use them to defend the Democrats who are incapable of defending themselves. Brian, your thoughts.
Well, I don't think it's going to come down to how it develops. We know it's going to develop, and we know that they've got their Agenda 2030, and they've got their psychological operations that they've been planning for years. We know that if you want to drive Americans to despair and civil war, it's as easy as turn out the lights for a few days. Okay, they're going to go for the fossil fuels. And they go for the fossil fuels. Next thing you know, people are cold and hungry pretty fast. And they can't move out of their house. They can't go. And it's the man with the gun that's going to end up living longer than the man without the gun. It's going to be at that point in time, the guy with the medicines, the guy with the medical training that can help the wounded survive, that's going to be the local hero, the guy that can grow the food. We're going to be knocked back to the beginning of time when that happens. And I think that they're going to do it. The question is, how are they going to do it? I see potential false flags in Project Bluebeam. They're doing all sorts of things with holographics that we can't even possibly imagine at this point in time. I think we've got a potential another pandemic on the line, although I think American people have been kind of steeled to that. The last psychological operation that they ran on us didn't work as well as they had hoped. I guess their pathogen just wasn't quite as deadly as they had hoped. There's all sorts of things they can do. And the thing is, and this is one of the big points I want to make about why false flags play into this so well. You know, a big portion of the false flags was to have all the schools rebuilt with new security measures to keep the kids safe, to lock them in, lock them away from their families. They want to train, they want to control and own the next generation. The divide and conquer strategy has worked so well in terms of this tranny stuff with kids and all these other things that we've lost the mind of our youth. And once we lose the mind of our youth, we're going to be the last of the holdouts, the last of the critical thinkers. These kids, ask yourselves the question, can they think?
No.
Can they think critically? Can they think independently? And I would say, I'm not seeing a lot of it. I'm seeing a lot of kids spending all their time on TikTok and, you know, whatever they do. but I'm not seeing enough of kids learning to think. So it's so very, very critical that our role in the midst of whatever chaos is coming is to help grow and build and train a new generation of critical thinkers. And if you're going to do that effectively, you've got to be able to feed them well. You've got to be able to give them water. You got to love them. You got to bring them on up. And I think if the best that we can do is, instead of fighting, is loving. It's just the way I see it.
Very nice. Very nice. Having completed our top 10 stories, we have the opportunity for a bonus, which has to do with the domestic false flag event of our time, Sandy Hook, with Alex Jones returning to InfoWars, to Twitter, and lying about it. Here we have a tweet. Alex Jones claims to clear the air about Sandy Hook, falling in line saying it was a real school shooting. Very troubling. He talks about professors, me, and school safety experts Wolfgang Helbig having misled him. If only he had read the book. Here we have Elon Musk questioning Alex Jones.
I don't know how much. Would you like the short answer or the medium answer?
I think at least the medium answer. I guess people just want to know, like, obviously it would be like heartless and cruel to deny a school shooting of children, or to attack the parents or anyone who is involved. It seems that would be, you know, just incredibly mean and cruel, frankly. So it's sort of that's I think, you know, what a lot of people are upset about, or at least they think that is the reason to be upset about. Sure. And you know, if that were true, I think they would rightly be, you know, upset with you.
Yeah, yes, sir. Well, please let me then just tell you what really happened, okay? And if you want me to send you a dossier with clips and videos and articles,
I mean, post it to your account, you know.
Yes, sir, I will do that. So let me tell you what happened. I'm a guy that didn't go to college. I mean, a few years of community college. I started out on Access TV 29 years ago. I was not professionally trained, and by 2016, I had 30 million viewers and listeners a day, conservatively. I was the biggest show, as big as Rogan is now or bigger, and I had a very small operation and did not even understand how powerful I was. And so when that event, I just call it the school shooting, which I do believe happened 11 years ago, the internet exploded, and it was the top story for off and on for years, with all these professors and former school safety people and all of them saying they believed it was a drill. And I simply covered them covering that. What was entered in court against me in both cases, where I was found guilty by judges, kind of like in New York, there's a judge in Trump's case, not even a jury, in his real estate case. And then years later, after Trump got elected and after I was deplatformed, it made me bigger. And so suddenly I would wake up and there would be sometimes 100 articles or more a day, every major news channel saying that I was currently saying nobody died, currently sending people to their houses, currently peeing on graves. I didn't even know these people's names. I only said one of their names ever. Now I believe their children died, and I understand
okay.
all that.
Okay.
But I'm saying, imagine I was not deplatformed, no mention of the school shooting in Connecticut for like 6-7 years. Then they go back to my timeline, and it turns out it was a big New York PR firm, Democratic Party. They dredge it up. They run hundreds of articles, sometimes a day, but a week for over a year. Suddenly it becomes a big story again.
What's the PR firm? People,
pardon me?
Which propaganda firm was this? PR is a public relations is a propaganda word for propaganda. So I think we should call PR firms propaganda firms, because that is in fact what they do. So what propaganda firm was this?
I will find the name as soon as I'm off, because I can't do two things. I'm not good at doing two things at once. I can't walk and chew bubble gum. But I don't know.
Well, he says more, of course. But the point I make is, we can debunk what Alex is saying by showing it. For example, three of the alleged decedents, two of the children, Emily Parker and Noah Posner, are in fact alive and well, and that Victoria Soto is not only alive and well, but that she even reprised her role at Uvalde. Let me explain. Here we have a photograph purporting to be of Leonard Posner with little Noah, who at 6 years old was supposed to be the youngest victim of the Sandy Hook shooting. My colleague, Kelly Watt, observed that his older half-brother, Michael Vabner, bore a striking resemblance to little Noah. Six of us went to work on our hypothesis. We found they had the same eyes, the same eyebrows, the same nose, the same ears, the same mouth, the same chin. I asked a friend of mine, Larry Rivera, who's done brilliant work by superimposing images, where if you make the pupils of the eyes equidistant from the same perspective, all the features will fall in line if they are the same person. And here you can see little Noah turning into Michael Vabner, or more appropriately, Michael Vabner having been the source of little Noah. They used photographs of Michael Vabner when he was a child to be the fictional figure who allegedly died, Noah Posner, where Michael Vabner is doing stand-up comedy in Cambridge at a comedy studio. He's very much alive and well. Here's another. The lower right, that is supposed to be Emily Parker. And you see Robbie Parker, who came up with the absurd press conference where he was joking and laughing till he came out and saw the assembled crowd and hyperventilated and began to talk about the loss of his daughter Emily the previous day, but had presence of mind to mention her donation site. This turns out, and I've learned from the woman who was cast as Emily Parker herself, as a Photoshop image. She wasn't in the photograph. She was, however, actually present the day of the event. Her name is Margaret Alice Cottle. And here's the Parker, Robbie Parker, is her uncle, not her father. And here's a Parker gravesite and another Cottle in Utah. Here she is with her cousins, who are presented as her sister. Here she is today, Margaret Alice Cottle, just a brilliant young woman, completely sensational, who led to several significant developments in terms of evidence of how the whole thing had been contrived. Then we have Victoria Lee Soto, who is a teacher allegedly died at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. She's a fetching young woman. They even have a race after her, named after her. She'd been responsible for raising a vast number of funds for Sandy Hook. Here's S.J. Rowlands. You mentioned Victoria Soto. That's her on the right, resurrected as Eva Morales in time to be shot at Uvalde gym. Did you know our favorite Muslim, Dr. Oz, had a kid on his TV show who supposedly survived Sandy Hook? A Turkey's doctor asked the kid a few leading softball questions like, are you proud of your teacher? The kid shrugs his shoulder and says, yes. After this continues, he becomes frustrated and annoyed and says, it was a drill. What? And Dr. Oz says, nothing with a bomb this kid just dropped? Can't anyone see the ridiculousness here? Meanwhile, even at Uvalde, which was a variation on Sandy Hook, we have also the recycling of Dr. Wayne Carver, who purportedly had died in the meanwhile, but there he is at Uvalde in the background. Check it out.
But the healing will take place. It's just going to take a while.
But the healing will take place. It's just gonna take a while.
It's stunning stuff, but when you have three of the key players alive and well, you certainly have a sense that, as I have declared from the beginning, virtually from the beginning. It was a FEMA drill to promote his mass murder to support the Obama agenda of gun control. And I'm embarrassed, even ashamed, that Alex Jones has fallen in line about this. I actually tweeted to Elon Musk and said, since I was a professor, he talked about, why don't you have a debate between me and Alex Jones about Sandy Hook, to which I unsurprisingly received no reply. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, if you send me your Sandy Hook book, Jim, email me the PDF, I'll walk it into the Twitter office here in San Francisco. Pat Berge and I went to Twitter and served Twitter the election fraud material, Pat's book. I gave them a copy of Shell Game, too. So it's very easy to serve them. And you're right. The evidence is all that matters. And there's overwhelming evidence of the fraud of Sandy Hook. And if one part's a fraud, all of it's a fraud. And there's the SWAT officer who was carrying his weapon upside down by the magazine. And he pops up later on the Bill Moyers program with a woman claiming to be a parent. You know, that guy was obviously an actor. There's the other little girl who was singing at the Super Bowl, you know, who was allegedly killed. I mean, all of that material is there. And I know Brian and you have researched it thoroughly, so I'll defer to Brian to add. Go ahead.
Well, it's just a perfect example of a false flag where its exposure would lead, I think, to the collapse of the Connecticut government, because the governor and the lieutenant governor of the Connecticut State Police, a school board, Newtown, the whole bit. I mean, Vicky Soto's real name is actually Victoria Aurelio. She's the daughter of the town clerk whose signature stamped appears on the death certificates. And I learned from them during over a half a year, 6 months of interaction, that in fact her mother always signs authentic death certificate, does not use a stamp. And yet her signature is stamped on these death certificates, where I was sued and they've taken my book on the ground that I'd committed defamation by denying the authenticity of the death certificate that Leonard Posner, who's also a fictional character, had provided to my colleague Kelly Watt by way of his own Google Plus page, and then became the plaintiff in suing me. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, I think our audience probably recognizes Sandy Hook for exactly what it is. The question is, how does the world see Jones? And Jones, you know, look, I don't know the man. I don't know why he does what he does, but I know that there are lots of people out there who are in positions where they're being asked to sort of control the opposition. Lenin said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it. Well, is it possible that Jones has made some sort of deal with the authorities to have this role? How did he rise to his notoriety? He's a very charismatic man. I imagine his heart's often in the right places, but everybody makes deals with somebody somewhere, somehow. And it's only the true spirit that really does care about the truth all the way through. They don't last too long. They get sued. They get beat up. They get chewed up and spit out. We're walking into 2024, and I'll tell you right now, there are more people waking up to the lies of the media than ever before. And I can tell you right now that a large percentage of the American population would not be surprised today to find out that Sandy Hook wasn't what they claimed it was. There's a huge portion of the world out there right now that's beginning to really open their eyes and pay attention to what the truth is. And they're asking the question all around, if I've been lied to about this, what else have they lied about? And that's what started me. If they lied to me about the Pulse nightclub shooting, what else did they lie to me about? And here I am, you know, that was 2016. Here I am these years later, as still a newbie, a neophyte in the game of false flags, but everybody starts to make progress somewhere and take a step in the right direction. And I say that in the context of Jones to say, whether from false motives or pure, he's waking people up. And, you know, they might be exposed to something that Jones is saying here or there that gets people to start doing their own research. And because of that, I think that he's playing a more powerful, positive role than he's damaging the role. Now, Jim, have you been vindicated about Sandy Hook? No. You may never see justice. I mean, I've told you this. We've talked before and we've dealt with these issues. I don't think you were going to find a lot of justice in this world. I think justice comes in the next world. So wow. I'm one of them that just looks at the world through a different type of lens. And that's probably a lot to do with my theological background. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of what I believe. I'm proud of what I've developed. I think a lot of even what I think today is probably possibly wrong. And I'm trying to reevaluate these things all the time. I appreciate this audience. I appreciate the fact that this is New Year's Eve and that we're walking into 2024. But I think the most exciting thing about the future today is that this is a world that's becoming awake. And I think if as long as that's happening, we're headed in the right direction of being able to get rid of the real villains, which in my opinion are the money changers.
Once you're awoken, you can never go back to sleep again.
I'd like to take this opportunity at the end of the year to thank you all, Don and Brian and Scott, for your diligent participation. You made sensational contributions and give you opportunity for final thoughts for the new year. Since Don will close us out, let me begin with Scott.
Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And this is a time for fighting with ideas and fighting with words. Words are powerful. That's what the spiritual anointing upon our words and the believers have earth-changing effects. And people need to be involved, grow, and be leaders, and expand your ideas through your words to others. And from those who criticize or chastise, from such turn away, shake off the dust of your sandals, focus on your churches and expelling the bad pastors and taking over that real estate. And from there, returning to organs of righteousness that control the society of your town and your cities and your counties with righteousness and for righteousness. And truth and love. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? And doing justly is doing righteousness and expelling unrighteousness from every plot of dirt in your town where you live. So I would end it there, Jim, and thank the audience for supporting us.
Wow.
And thank you, Don, for being the producer that you are. Go ahead.
Brian, your final New Year's Eve thoughts.
Next year, focus on getting rid of the toxic things in your life. There's lies. There are people that you haven't forgiven, people that haven't forgiven you. There are all sorts of things that are toxic. There are foods that we've been eating and things that we've been drinking that we shouldn't have been drinking. There are relationships that have gone sour. Get rid of the toxic. Stop letting it bring you down and move up to a higher plane. I think now's the time of all times ever in history to do something called repentance, which is introspection. Take a look at yourself, figure out where your flaws are at, how they develop and affect you and your relationships, and learn to cut them out. Turn around, go the other way. That's what repentance means. And I think anybody can do it. I don't think you have to necessarily be a Christian, although I wish you were. But anybody can do repentance. It's as simple as this. Sit down, write down the things that are poisoning your life and your mind, and start cutting them out one at a time.
Two final thoughts as we end this dreadful year of 2023. First of all, know ye the truth, and the truth shall make ye free. We're doing our best to help you be informed. Pursue the truth. And second of all, spend as much time as you can with your friend, your family, the people you love and care about the most. Literally, we do not know how much time we have left. Don, your final thoughts as you take us out.
Oh, wow. Well, final thoughts, you all summed it up for me. I can add nothing more than just pursue truth. And that's what we're doing here for the 3 hours. So check this out, the show out. And send it out and spread the truth. And we need that more than ever as we go into 2024, because the lies have piled up so thick and deep that in 23 that we just need to shovel it out and get a good perspective pursuing truth. So thank you so much for watching. And I guess we'll see you for our show coming up next week, next year. God bless.